The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today on this National Day of Prayer, and Lord knows we need it. Especially with all those godless heathen Democrats running the country. Got a lot going on here, ladies and gentlemen, today. And we are honored that you are a part of the radio program. We've got some great guests coming up. Our good friend Robert Jeffress is going to be here, a former spiritual advisor to President Trump. Congressman Kevin Brady is going to drop by as well. A huge, huge war underway within the ranks of the Republicans over Liz Cheney and Donald Trump, and we're going to get to that. Have a lot of things to say about that particular story, but I want to start off with something we actually talked about earlier this week on the Todd Starnes radio program. Now, yesterday, Fox News Channel and I try not to call out Fox News too terribly often. They employed me for, gosh, almost 15 years at the Fox News corner of the world. Had a great time there, but every now and again they do something that needs to be addressed, and they did something yesterday. They have a problem. They do not give credit where credit is due, and they claim to have an exclusive story yesterday, and it turned out to be something that we talked about on this program on Monday. So we're going to back up. I want to set this up, first of all, with something that happened yesterday. And we have had a conversation on this program about Joe Biden and the mental decline that we are seeing. And I'm just curious. And this is the question for the first hour of the program. Are you seeing a physical and mental decline, a slip in President Biden? Are you seeing that his situation, his mental faculties, are in fact getting worse? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, we have some audio here from something that happened yesterday, and we've got the video on our website, and I would encourage you to look at the video, because as the president is speaking, he loses his train of thought, and when he does, you can see on the side of his head, it begins to pulsate and throb like there was, I don't know, that like maybe he had fallen down, or he had experienced a bump, or somebody, I don't know, Dr. Mrs. Jill Biden, the first lady, knocked him upside the noggin. I don't know. But let's listen to what happened in cut number 8.
Look, he said that in our last administration, Barack, he was going to stop everything. And I was able to get a lot done with him. Everything...
It's terrible. Folks, the guy is just not there. It was almost as if you're staring into the man's eyes and there's just nothing there. This is the man who is supposedly the leader of the free world, the man who is supposed to instill fear and trembling in the hearts and minds of our enemies. And the guy can't even complete a sentence. So earlier in the week, on Monday, And Fox News has the story up on their website, and they're claiming that they're the first to talk about this. They posted a story last night about this. But we actually talked about this issue on Monday. So Biden was giving a speech at the 50th anniversary of Amtrak. And Biden talked about this relationship he had, this encounter he had with a guy who was a train conductor, a guy by the name of Angelo. And it turned out, and again, this is now Fox News is reporting, that the story did not add up. Now, Fox says, well, we had the story first. Yeah, no, sort of, kind of, you did not, Fox News. I mean, we appreciate that you're finally covering the story, but we actually talked about it. And again, we don't just spew things here. We provide you facts. So we went back into the Todd Stearns radio show Time Machine, and we had our team pull this audio, and I want you to hear what we talked about on this program on Monday. So anyway, Biden was giving a speech at Amtrak on Friday, 50th anniversary of Amtrak, government-owned train system. And he started talking about Amtrak and then got derailed. Cut number seven.
If you think about it, when I was vice president with Barack, he allowed me to put together a budget for Amtrak, and it had money for high-speed rail at 200 miles an hour from Charlotte, another line going from in Florida down to Tampa, another line. If we had moved, Gov, we'd have that tunnel fixed in New York now. The money was there to get it done.
What is he talking about? We were talking about trains, then he's talking about tunnels. We were talking about Florida, then he's talking about New York. The guy's all over the place. And then he goes into this weird story about a train conductor of Italian descent and his relationship with this train conductor. Now, this is very important. I want you to listen because we did a little bit of research on this guy. The train conductor is an Italian-American. Joe Biden is Irish. But Biden was telling this story as if it happened while he was vice president. So let's take a listen.
And I was getting on the train, and Angelo Negri came up and he goes, Joey, baby. And he grabbed my cheek, started to squeeze it like he always did. And I thought he was going to get shot. I'm serious. And I said, no, he's a friend. He said, Joey, what's the big deal? 1,200,000, 300,000 miles on Air Force Two. You know how many miles you travel on Amtrak? I said, no, Ange, I don't know. And he gave me the calculation. And he said, you travel 1,515,000 miles on Amtrak.
All right. So aside from the Joey, baby. Now, I wonder if this guy knows corn pop. That's what I was wondering. Do we have any knowledge of that? Do we have any knowledge of whether or not there was some sort of a connection between, I don't know, the Italian train conductor and Corn Pop, who was the local gang leader down at the watering hole, the swimming pool? We did a little bit of research on this guy, Angelo Negri, and it's interesting. He passed away in 2014. Now, Joe Biden was vice president of these great United States. Starting in, 2008, right? All right, 2008. You got to follow this. So I looked up. I was trying to get some background on Angelo, Joey Baby, and we discovered that he was, in fact, a conductor for Amtrak for 39 years. But here's the problem. He retired in 1993. So how is it that this guy was still working on Amtrak when Joe Biden was vice president, when the guy retired in 1993? And beyond that, do you really think for a minute that the Secret Service would allow some guy to come rushing up to the vice president of the United States and squeeze his cheeks and say, Joey, baby, do you really think that would happen?
Joey, baby.
I don't know. Something is a bit off about this story. So here's what we reached out to the White House about this because we want to get some We want to get some background information here. We want to find out, why is there a discrepancy? The guy retires in 1993, and yet Biden seems to think he had this conversation when he was vice president of these great United States. But then again, Joe Biden may not be aware that he's president of the United States. Joe Biden may not even be aware that he's living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And there you have it, folks. So that's what we talked about on this radio program on Monday. Now, Fox News. And I do know that the folks over at Fox, they have somebody assigned to listen to our program. And we know that because, and also to check out our website, because after we have a story posted about something, typically about 24 hours later, that same story will show up on the Fox News website. But the writer of this piece, Evie Fordham, says that Biden's comments have flown under the media radar so far. No, they have not, Ms. Fordham. No, they have not. I would encourage Ms. Fordham and the others to listen to this radio program over at Fox News so they can be informed, so they can be up on what we're really talking about here. And by the way, the White House, they did not respond to Fox News either. I'm telling you, folks, there's something not right about Biden, and it's only getting worse. And you've got to watch this video where Biden got lost in his train of thought and the pulsating on the side of his head. It was bizarre. Now, Grace Baker, I know you have seen this video. I've never seen anything quite like this.
No, I haven't either. It's very concerning.
And you can see it begins to pulsate. The side of his face begins to pulsate when he starts getting
He's trying
rattled.
To like process. But he just
it's
can't.
It's not computing.
No, I mean, it's not computing. Yeah, it honestly makes me more, at this point, sad.
Well, it's horrible. This is, we're watching elder abuse.
Yeah. I mean, he's the leader of our country, and he can barely get through a sentence.
And, Grace, I'm telling you, everybody else can see this. World
yeah.
leaders see this.
It's a laughingstock.
And they know.
Yeah.
They know that the guy's a joke.
And then the mainstream media here is just trying to cover for him. And then people are finally, I think, starting to realize that he's not right, because they haven't been paying attention. They've just been taking CNN's word for it.
And again, this, to our point, is not the first time that we have heard Joe Biden make some sort of a gaffe.
What am I doing here? I'm going to lose track.
I mean, it's one thing after another with this guy. Unbelievable. 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. We're going to be taking your calls on this. Our website, toddstarnes.com. We've got the video there for you, links to all of the stories we're talking about. We'll be right back.
Lines of the Culture War. It's Todd Starnes.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right. Want to welcome back our great listeners all over America. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go right now to the phone line. So 844-747-8868. Gregory, listening to us on WDUN, Gainesville, Georgia, wants to weigh in on Joe Biden. All right, Gregory, what's up?
Well, you know, hearing about, you know, Biden and is, you know, all over the map on one of his speeches and everything. You know, we've been seeing it through the campaign when he was campaigning and everything, and the media just, you know, shut it right off to where you can never see it again. And I just can't. I mean, here's a elected president that showing signs of dementia. And it's just, it's bizarre. You know, I just, you know, here we got this country, this great country, and now we got a president that has this, you know, this problem. You know, and I just, something's got to be done.
You know, Gregory, this goes back to the presidency of Woodrow Wilson, who suffered a debilitating stroke. And his wife and the White House chief of staff were actually running the country. And if you've noticed, Biden hardly goes anywhere without either nursemaid one, which is Mrs. Dr. Jill Biden, or nursemaid number two, which is Kamala Harris. They're always within arm's reach of the president. And I think, I think this goes to the fact that this man is not all there. And it's not his fault. This is what happens with old age. But, Gregory, we all saw this, and the Democrats all saw this. So this is all part of a much grander, nefarious scheme, which is to get Kamala Harris into the Oval Office.
Right. Right. I see that. Yep. You're right.
Gregory, we appreciate you listening to us, and thank you for supporting our great radio affiliate, WDUN. Let's go to Arkansas, K-A-R-N, Jay on the line. Hi, Jay. What's going on?
Hey, Todd, I'm like you. I'm concerned. I do everything I possibly can to avoid listening to the news, but on those hourly news snippets for Fox, it's like they're carrying on like he's been going on for years and years, just working for the American people, going out, doing all this stuff, and it's all a facade, a charade. And I don't know how many people think that he's out there working. I mean, the polls are all cooked up, I'm sure, but no, I just don't believe anything that they're telling us, and they're trying to do it in plain sight. It's scary. I mean, it's like, who's your enemy? With friends like this, who needs enemies?
Jay, I'm telling right? you, the big media, mainstream media, they're providing cover for this guy, and you know who else is? It's also the social media giants, Facebook, Twitter. They intentionally stop the spread of any kind of a story that talks about Joe Biden's mental faculties being off kilter. Anytime we provide video evidence like the pulsating, throbbing side of the head, they squelch those stories. And, you know, some days we get tens of thousands of people reading a story. We post something about Joe Biden's mental decline and, you know, we get maybe two or three, you know, clicks to the story. It's unbelievable. The cover up involved in what's happening right now with Joe Biden and his health. Jay, appreciate the phone call and thank you for listening to us. By the way, KARN listeners, you know that there is a change coming from 11 to 2 on your radio station. And of course, there's nothing the local folks could do about it. They're great, good, great people and good friends of this radio program. So here's what we want you to do. You can still listen to our show. You won't be able to listen to it on KARN, but you can listen to it at KWAM Radio. That's KWAMRadio.com. And you'll be able to download the app and you can listen to the show that way. All of our Little Rock, Arkansas listeners. All right. Let's go to Adam, listening to us on the live stream from the great state of New Mexico. Hey, Adam, what's going on?
Hey, it's going well here. We got a nice day. I just want to say I'm a big fan of your show, Todd, and it's a neat opportunity to be able to chat with you briefly here. I'll lay it out for you. I have noticed the same things you're talking about today with the odd, strange behaviors from our current president, quote unquote. But what I want to share in brief is over the last 4 years in particular. And I'm wondering if you've noticed this too, Todd, what your take is. Please just, and I know you do shoot from the hip. So here it is. At first, I thought this is some kind of regime behind the Democrat Party. And I was, by the way, I was Democrat during Obama's administration. And a lot of the cancel culture and hate speech drove me away. So anyway, just noticing that. It seems that there is some kind of a greater power behind not only the Democrat Party, but that has also influenced the Republican Party. And the reason I say that is because, as you noted earlier, there seems to be a vacuum of leadership.
Well, Adam, there is a vacuum of leadership. And I hate to do this, but they're going to cut us off here. We've got to take a break. But there is a vacuum of leadership. And we're going to get into that. Adam, thank you for calling. And I do hate to cut you off there. Folks, got to take a break. We will be right back. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us here, ladies and gentlemen. So yesterday, Liz Cheney decided to pour some gasoline on this civil war that's erupted within the ranks of the Republicans, and it's really the entire party. And I've got a lot to say about this, and I'm anxious to hear your thoughts as well. But there is and has been a leadership vacuum within the Republican Party. Now, I want to go back just for we've got to go back to 2016 for just a moment. Now, all of these folks, the Liz Cheneys and the Mitt Romneys and the George W. Bushes of the world, they are the ones to blame for Donald Trump. And I want to make sure you understand where I'm coming from here. They had the opportunity to put forward one of their guys or gals. But out of the 17 people that were running, there was only one who clearly had a backbone and was willing to fight back against the mainstream media, against the Democrats, someone who was willing to stand up for the American working man and the American working woman. Only one person, and that was Donald Trump. There was nothing stopping Jeb Bush from doing that, aside from the fact that he needed to drink more Red Bull and he needed a nap. There was no reason why Marco Rubio could not have been that person. There's no reason why even Ted Cruz could not have been that person. And by the way, I was a Ted Cruz guy all the way up until the convention. So if they have anybody to blame for the rise of Donald Trump within the Republican Party, it's the establishment Republicans. They're the ones who screwed up the party. They're the ones who turned people away from the party. And Donald Trump came in and he taught Republicans how to fight for people, how to live up to a promise, how to deliver on a promise. And I hate to say it, but a good many Republicans still have not learned their lessons. And more so than anything else, I appreciate the fact that this president, Donald John Trump, kept us out of wars that we did not need to be fighting. I mean, how long is the war in Afghanistan supposed to go on? 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years? Are we fighting a 100-year war? Not to mention whatever happened in Iraq with Saddam Hussein, which I truly believe was payback for not getting Saddam Hussein during the first Gulf War. So, I understand both sides of this. But the reality is, the winning party, it's not the party of John McCain. It's not the party of Mitt Romney. It was Donald Trump who showed the Republicans how to win, and it's Donald Trump who actually won. So now you have Liz Cheney out there, and she is ranked. She's the third ranking member in the House. She's chairperson of the House Leadership Conference, the Republican Conference. And Cheney is firing back. She is fighting to keep her job. But I got to be honest with you. I don't think her job is in jeopardy. When you look at what went down after she voted to impeach the president the first go around, she survived that vote. I mean, she only lost by there were only 40 people that voted against her. And if this is a private vote again, I suspect she's gonna be able to fight. But my concern are the conservatives. So the name that has been put forward, the replacement for Liz Cheney, is Elise Stefanik. She is a young Republican, one of the youngest Republicans up on Capitol Hill. And she is also a moderate Republican. Now, I know she says she's a conservative now, but in 2019, and I want you to understand this, in 2019, Elise Stefanik was one of two Republicans in the House of Representatives who voted for the Equality Act. Elise Stefanik was one of two Republicans who voted to crack down on Christianity in America. Now, some of you are going to come back and push back and argue that when you say, well, wait a second, the second time around, she voted against it. Yes, she did. But I contend that was a vote out of political expedience. I need her to explain to me how it is that her mindset on the Equality Act was so radically changed in less than 2 years. How did that happen? Beyond that, Elise Stefanik was one of the most vocal Never Trumpers up on Capitol Hill. Now she embraces Donald Trump and she loves Donald Trump, and President Trump has even endorsed her. But may I ask you a question? What is more important for the Republican Party right now? Do we need people to pledge allegiance to the conservative ideals of the party, or do we need Republicans to pledge their allegiance to either Liz Cheney or Donald Trump? I contend it's not a party of personality. It is a party of ideology. Who are we as Republicans? Why am I voting as a Republican? And I do so because of the Republican platform. A party that supports capitalism. A party that supports the rights of the unborn. A party that believes in religious liberty. A party that believes in sovereign borders. A party that believes in the Second Amendment. Those are the ideals that I believe in. I don't put my trust in a man or a woman. And I love Donald Trump. I think that the man is going to go down as one of the great presidents in American history. But I've got a problem here with the way this is going down. Because Liz Cheney, if you step back and you look at her record is fine. She has, what, 70%, 80% approval rating through American Conservative Union, the people that put together CPAC, Elise Stefanik, she's hovering around 50%. So are we better off replacing Liz Cheney with a moderate Republican who may, quite frankly, go wishy-washy on the issues? It looks to me like, instead of finding the best person for the job, that the Republicans are playing their own bit of identity politics. Well, we got to have a woman. Well, we've got to have a person of color. Okay, well, why not just pick the best person? Why not pick the person that best reflects the values and the ideology of the party? Because I'm telling you, by and large, if you put if you're going to get rid of Liz Cheney, I would much rather have a rock-solid Republican as chairperson of the Republican conference instead of someone who could go rogue and go woke. And that's what I'm afraid Elise Stefanik just might do. But there's a lot going on here, and there is a leadership vacuum, and that's why you are seeing this very ugly squabble being played out in public. And what we are lacking are party elders who can pull people like Liz Cheney aside and Kevin McCarthy, who, by the way, was just as guilty. Again, Kevin McCarthy. He went out there and blamed Donald Trump for what happened at the U.S. Capitol, and then he turns around and he's worshiping at his feet at Mar-a-Lago. You don't know who to believe. I mean, which version of Kevin McCarthy do you support? Is it the one that from back in January or the one now? Pick a spot, pick a side, and stick with it. Anyway, Liz Cheney, writing in the Wall Street Journal, says that President Trump is a cult of personality. And she is going to keep speaking out. Here's what Liz Cheney is going to do. She is burning down the Republican Party. And in essence, she is telling all of us that if you keep supporting Donald Trump and his policies, we're going to make sure you don't win anymore. And that's not right.
And she can have that position, but she can have that position without having leadership. All right, let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Dan in Horseshoe, North Carolina, listening to us on the great WHKP. Dan, what's on your mind today?
Well, Todd, I agree with you on all this. And that fellow from New Mexico, I believe that there nobody has any backbone anymore in both our Senate and the House. In our district here in North Carolina, we elected a fellow named Madison Cawthorn to the House. He was, I think, the youngest member at this point. But he backed President Trump, and probably why he won. I backed him. I kind of wanted to get some youngsters in there, so I voted for him. But after that White House thing, on the 6th, I guess it was, I forget, he got out there and voiced some support for the president. And he took some flack. I didn't think the flack was very hard. But I tell you, since that day, I've not heard not one word on the radio from Mr. Cawthorn.
You know, isn't it interesting, Dan? You know, that is a good observation. And I know our team, and they schedule, we have one of the best bookers in all of talk radio that schedules guests for my show. And he works with these people on a daily basis, and Madison Cawthorn, and you're right, Dan, before all of this went down, he was one of those guys, they were begging to come onto our program. I mean, he would come on about once a week or so, but all of a sudden, all that went down, and poof, he disappears. And to your point, Dan, and I appreciate you calling in. I don't want you to go anywhere because we want to send you a great prize package. Welcome to our great radio family and all of the listeners over at WHKP. But again, it goes back to what Dan said, ladies and gentlemen. You got a lot of lawmakers, and they don't have backbones. They do not have backbones, and we got to do something about that. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. ToddStarnes.com is our website. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And look, the whole point of this, when Congresswoman Cheney, when Liz Cheney's going out there accusing the president of having this this Trump cult of personality, what she is doing is not just insulting President Trump. She is insulting the 74 million people who voted for this president. That's what she is doing. And it is a very dangerous game that the establishment Republicans are playing right here, folks. And if they're not careful, they're going to screw around and we're going to end up having Democrats controlling the House of Representatives and the Senate through all 4 years of the Harris-Biden administration. So they've got to knock it off. And we've been talking about this for the past couple of days now, but this is a big deal. Well, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Honored to have with us from the great state of Texas, Congressman Kevin Brady. Congressman, good to have you on the show today.
Hey, good, Todd. How are you doing?
You know, I'm good, Congressman, and you know, we're sort of going through, and a lot of our listeners are very upset with what's happening right now within the ranks of the Republican Party. Do you think Liz Cheney is going to be the leader of the House conference?
you know, I don't know. I do know this one. She's a fierce conservative, has been for many years, has a lot of respect for that. She's also a fierce critic of President Trump, and I think House Republicans certainly understand votes of conscience by our members, but I think the question is, for listening to my colleagues, the question is, will this daily constant feud distract from our unified effort to stop the Biden socialist agenda and take back the majority? I think that's what this vote now is going to be about.
Congressman, you know, and to your point, no one's questioning the fact that, you know, she has a right to vote her conscience. But now it's as if she's attacking so many of these Trump supporters and other of her colleagues on Capitol Hill for their votes of conscience.
You know, she has obviously she has every right to vote for impeachment. I strongly disagree with that. And she has a right to continue her criticism. But she is the top messenger for House Republicans. And I think just, again, listening to my colleagues, there's just a worry that this will continue or accelerate, and it is going to be a major distraction. I can't predict how that vote will turn out. I know that that I will visit with Liz Cheney, as I do in each of these issues, and make that decision myself.
Have you made up your mind how you're going to vote?
You know, I'm close, but I always have that conversation with Liz out of respect on this. So I'll do that first.
Well, that's and I appreciate you have that kind of respect, because clearly she doesn't have that kind for the president or the, you know, the others on Capitol Hill who support President Trump. She's made her points very public. So
it has been public. And I think, too, you know, one of the big key issues here, while we're spending time on this pretty big distraction, is, look, we are right now we're facing the largest tax increases we've seen as a country in a half a century. And while the president inherited a very strong economy and he inherited life-saving vaccines, you know, he's going to sabotage our jobs recovery with these tax hikes. And at the end of the day, it lands on small businesses, it lands on working families, and it will drive jobs overseas. At the State of the Union, or excuse me, the joint address as it's called, I counted 6.5 million jobs lost just from the president's speech the other night.
And that is, and again, you're right. There are big, big issues, Congressman, facing this country. We're hearing words like inflation being batted around quite a bit. What do you think this country is going to look like from a financial economic position in the coming couple of years?
Well, we all ought to worry about this, because right now, under President Biden, Congress is looking less like a pandemic fighter and more like college kids on an extended spring break. It is party now, hangover tomorrow. And I think the worry for all of us, that hangover economically with all this debt, it is going to be higher inflation that robs your paychecks. It's going to be higher borrowing costs, whether you're buying that first home or that car you need or something for your family. And so, look, the laws of economics didn't get suspended during this pandemic. And when you're proposing that this president has $6 trillion, mostly wasteful spending, heaped on top of what we had to do to survive the pandemic, it ought to be a worry for everyone.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Congressman Kevin Brady out of Texas. Congressman, the attacks, especially on small businesses, already struggling because many of these large cities still have not lifted their China virus lockdowns. And so a lot of small businesses are still under the jackboot of their local governments. How concerned are you that the Biden economic policies are going to shove more of those small businesses out of work?
Well, there's no question. Just like working families pay the price for these tax increases, small businesses do. And none, because this economic lockdown that continues despite the science. I live in Texas, thank goodness, you know, which has been open responsibly for some time. You know, our small businesses' biggest problem is they can't find workers, you know, because the federal government in this last bill, the benefits are so generous that they can't compete. Secondly, President Biden just reneged on his promise to open schools.
Congressman, I hate to do this, sir, but we are coming up on the top of the hour, and we're going to have to wrap it up there. Congressman, I'm terribly sorry. Folks, we have to scoot out. Congressman Kevin Brady, thank you. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
You know, I've just about had it with these Facebook fact checkers. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Got a bee in the bonnet right now, and I got to swat at it for a few seconds. So, Grace Baker, turn your microphone on there.
Oh.
So, I just got a notification that once again, we are in Facebook jail. And I want to explain why.
Now?
So, a couple of days ago, we had the story about Joe Biden visiting the little people, the big people versus little people,
uh-huh.
You know, the little midget people.
Yes.
Little Jimmy Carter and little Miss Rosalind down in Plains, Georgia. We all saw the photograph. And they're all vaccinated. Everybody's wearing, you know, everybody's, you know, doing what they're supposed to be doing. And the Bidens are down there. They're visiting elderly people that are not a part of their family.
Yep.
Not a part of their social circle. And
they're inside.
They're inside and they're not wearing the face burkas.
Yep.
And then as they're leaving the home in Plains, Georgia, what happens? Grace Baker.
Oh, they put back on their masks when they're outside.
They put back on the masks while they are outside in front of the television cameras.
Of course.
And the photographers. So we did a story about this, and we posted a story about it over on our website, toddstarnes.com. We tried not to dwell on the fact that the photograph was taken in a way that made the Carters look like they were midgets.
Yes, it was taken with a wide-angle lens, by the way.
And the former First Lady looked like she was a dummy sitting on Joe Biden's knee.
It was very strange.
A ventriloquist.
Very
That's right.
Strange.
Very strange. So anyway, we did the story, and we just got flagged. And what did I say earlier in the show? Facebook, they will not allow you to criticize Joe Biden at all.
Nope.
That's
exactly.
It. That's it.
Yep.
Here's the headline. Fact check. Carters and Bidens were not breaking indoor mask-wearing guidelines in photo.
Yes, they were.
And so there's a little reporterette. Her name is Christiana Dillard, and she's writing for leadstories.com.
Okay.
One of the fact-checking organizations that Facebook uses. And so if you share our story, you're not going to be able to share it because it's considered to be fake news. So they want you to, they want you to believe that what you are seeing with your eyeballs is not real. So anyway, they're saying that this broke the CDC guidelines, and that's why we got fact checked. However, Grace Baker, that is not what we wrote on our page.
No.
And so I want to go through and I want to share this with you because they're saying, our story is fake news because we said that the Bidens broke CDC guidelines. Here's what we wrote. Hypocrisy. Bidens visit Carters without face masks. President Biden and Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden visited the Carters without masks on, but the photo shows they immediately put face masks on when they got inside. The image, which shows the Bidens looking massive next to former President Jimmy Carter and his wife, were posted by the Carter Center. Biden, who is fully vaccinated, has been criticized here. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is the key sentence. Biden, who is fully vaccinated, has been criticized for mask mandates and continuing to wear a mask despite CDC guidance saying otherwise. In other words, we were agreeing with the CDC.
I'm so confused.
I need a Baptist martini. For you folks in Hendersonville, North Carolina, that's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon. Better make it a double on the rocks. So I'm going to have to spend my afternoon reaching out to our people that we work with at Facebook explaining why, once again, the fact checkers got it wrong. I'd like to know who is fact checking the fact checkers.
I feel like at this point you're on a first name basis with the Facebook people with how much you've been having to talk to them
lately.
I mean, you should know everything about them, where they're from and what they like to do. And
they're all a bunch of leftist Democrats. That's the problem.
Oh, there you go.
So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, there you go. We're back in Facebook jail. Just send us a cake with a knife or a file built into, you know, whatever.
Is there some kind of award for this? Badge of honor?
We ought to check with the CDC.
Oh.
They're actually offering, speaking of badges, the CDC with their summer camp guidelines, they're offering badges to the children. If you socially distance, if you wash your hands, you get a badge.
What is this, the Boy Scouts for the coronavirus?
Jeez, Olu. I tell you, I'm aggravated now. Aggravated. And by the way, today on the National Day of Prayer, you know what's going to get me out of this funk? Our good friend Art at a brand new affiliate there, WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina, sent me a YouTube video, a link back to Ronald Reagan. Back one of our great presidents, Ronald Reagan, his address on the National Day of Prayer. You know what? Let's play this audio.
I've said that we must be cautious in claiming God is on our side. I think the real question we must answer is, are we on his side? No matter where we live, we have a promise that can make all the difference. A promise from Jesus to soothe our sorrows, heal our hearts, and drive away our fears. He promised there will never be a dark night that does not end. Our weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He promised if our hearts are true, his love will be as sure as sunlight. And by dying for us, Jesus showed how far our love should be ready to go. All the way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We all praise God.
Now, that is a president who is a Christian man, a president who loved God, and is now spending eternity on that shining city on a hill. And I thought about President Trump. You know, President Trump, when he gave his address on the National Day of Prayer, in the final year of his administration, here's what he had to say.
May God continue to strengthen our hearts and sustain our souls. May God continue to shed his divine grace upon this land. And may God forever bless the United States of America.
And that brings me to Joe Biden and his very first proclamation on the National Day of Prayer. Now, the Democrats are in charge, and they already announced that there would not be a prayer service on Capitol Hill. Nancy Pelosi banned prayer from being delivered on Capitol Hill by the Reverend Patrick Mahoney. So there was not a service today. But beyond that, I was reading through Joe Biden's National Day of Prayer proclamation, and not once did he actually mention the name of God. Not once did he do it. Not once did, you know, President Trump would even quote from Scripture. He would read Bible verses. But Joe Biden, not only did he not mention God, he made no reference to Bible verses. And I want to read through this for you. Because going back to George Washington, he was the first to proclaim a national day of fasting and prayer. President Trump last year asked God to deliver us from the China virus. He quoted from the book of John. But this year, instead of petitioning Almighty God, President Biden petitions social justice warriors. No, I'm not making this up. There was not a single mention of God. Instead, President Biden called on Americans to use prayer to fight against racial injustice, child labor, and the infringement on the rights of disabled Americans. What in the name of all that is good in the world is he talking about here? I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about the holy trinity of the godless heathen religion of Democrats: tolerance, diversity, and critical race theory. Instead of quoting from the Holy Bible, he's quoting from Congressman John Lewis, talking about how human beings are the most dynamic link to the lowercase d divine on planet Earth. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to Democrats, mankind trumps God. And that's the problem with these Democrats. They really are godless heathens. They don't believe that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. They believe that we are endowed by the government. And what the government gives, the government can take away. And we saw this play out over the past year or so during the China virus pandemic. I will say this. I don't see how anyone can be a God-fearing Christian and be a Democrat. I don't see how that's possible. But I want to go back to something that Ronald Reagan said. He said, the question we need to be asking, is America on God's side? Do you believe that America is on God's side, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. No, I calmed down, Grace. I just got a little riled up there. These Facebook fact checkers, they just aggravate me because they're really not fact checkers. They're little brown shirt jackbooted thugs who are stomping on conservatives all over social media. By the way, and I do want to welcome all of our new listeners this week, and also at KRQN. That's 107.1 FM in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. But I really do hope you guys understand why it's so important for you to sign up for our newsletter. This is the only way that you're going to be able to get news and information without being censored. The only way. It will not cost you a penny. We don't share your information with anybody else. We guard that. We guard your emails here in the news bunker in Memphis, Tennessee. But all you have to do is go to our website. At the very top of the page, you'll see the word subscribe. Click on that. We don't need 3 pages of information. All we need is your email address and your zip code. So anyway, welcome KRQN, KYKN in Salem, Oregon, and WHKP in Hendersonville, North Carolina. All this week, you folks calling in from those radio stations, you make it on the air, we're going to give you a great prize package. 844-747-8868. Is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Have you guys heard about this controversy, Grace Avery, about Disneyland, which just reopened, by the way?
Yeah, about time.
I mean, Disney World's been open for what, months?
Oh, yeah.
Months.
It's been open for a long time. I went, like, last summer. So, I mean, yeah, it's been open for a while.
And the poor Disneyland, people have been unemployed. And
it's terrible.
You know, it's weird. I never see, when you see the pictures, I was watching video of the mad rush of people. I saw no children. They were all, like, grown adults.
That's fair.
Yep, that is very fair.
Children don't go to Disney World anymore. Have you noticed that?
I have, yeah.
I guess.
I was talking with a friend about this actually like yesterday, and we were saying like it seems like Disneyland and Disney World are mainly made for like young teenagers and young adults because like you only see like the young kid. The only time you really see or at least notice young children at Disneyland is when they're crying and screaming. So,
oh, wow.
I can't tell you how many. So I was out there giving a speech about 2 years ago, and they put us up in the Grand Californian, which is right there off of that Main Street USA thing.
Yep.
And or Downtown Disney, I think is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk out, and it was startling because I had never been to Disneyland, and you just think screaming children. But you know what I saw? I must have seen 100, 200 people that could not even walk on their own. They were driving around motorized scooters, you know, in their, like, 50s and 60s, and they were wearing the Mickey Mouse ears.
What?
Oh, that sounds like fun.
And, it was just a little off-putting.
Yeah, off-putting.
Is that a good word?
Yes, that's the perfect phrase. I was trying to think. I was like, oh,
but I'm thinking, how do you... I was worried about getting run over because these people, you know, it's like, get out of my way. They're worse than cyclists.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, I'm going to get in trouble for saying that, but I don't care. I mean, they'll run you over.
My husband can't stand cyclists.
Yeah. But, yeah, those people, they're like, they're just at the age where they just don't care. They're like, you can get out of my way. I'm not doing anything.
How did they get on the rides, though? That's what I couldn't figure out. I mean, you can't even walk. You know, you're having to go around in your motorized scooter. I just don't understand that. That's a lot of money just to kind of drive around on a motorized scooter.
Just look at the other people having fun.
It was not all that enjoyable. And I know it's
love Disney World.
It's the happiest place on earth. I wasn't all that happy.
That was one of my favorite vacations ever. I was like 12 when we went to Disney World. I cried when we left. I was sad. We were leaving on the bus and I started tears.
It was like Chuck E. Cheese on crack.
What?
That's what it reminded me of, the vibe.
That is a fair description of some days at Disney World, actually.
What time of year did you go?
I don't know. It was like the fall. Oh, it was. It was right around Halloween because
there you go.
Then they had a Halloween thing.
Yes.
And I'm just glad there were not any children there because some of the costumes were a little
scary.
Off-putting.
Dare
I say.
I unfortunately saw one or two of those my last time I was at Disney as well. And they were not cast members either.
Yeah, I'm not sure I wanted to get a picture with that.
Nope.
Piers Morgan, very upset, guys, over the woke crowd because Snow White has been upended by the woke crowd. So I guess the prince who kisses Snow White is basically being accused of, I don't know, date rape? Is that
basically.
Okay, got it.
Kissing without her consent.
So
it saves her life.
The San Francisco Chronicle wrote a review of Disneyland's new Snow White ride, and the review was mostly positive, but there was an issue because the iconic scene where the prince awakens Snow White from her eternal sleep caused controversy. Here's what she wrote.
This has been around forever.
This is true love's kiss, by the way.
Yeah.
And she writes, a kiss he gives to her without consent.
Oh, my gosh. You're overthinking this.
While she's asleep, which cannot be possibly true love if only one person knows it's happening.
Oh, my gosh. She's so missing the point of all of it.
Haven't we already agreed that consent in early Disney movies is a major issue? That teaching kids that kissing, which it hasn't been established if both parties are willing to engage, is not okay?
Ah, yes.
All I got to say is they better not come after my 101 Dalmatians.
It's hard to
fight somebody.
It's hard to understand why the Disneyland of 2021 would choose to add a scene with such old-fashioned ideas of what a man is allowed to do to a woman, especially given the company's current emphasis on removing problematic scenes from rides like Jungle Cruise and Splash Mountain.
Why not
reimagine an ending in keeping with the spirit of the movie? Cinderella plant a slobber knocker on her?
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
They want a lesbian kiss? Is that what they're after?
Yeah, I 100% would probably be willing to bet that if it was a scene of same-sex personal display of affection, it wouldn't have mattered.
Maybe she wants all the dwarves to start making out with each other.
Or something like that.
Okay, are you talking about... That's not a nice way to talk about the Carters. I mean, he is a former president.
I'm not talking about them.
Oh, the other dwarfs. I'm sorry.
Don't go assuming you're going to get me in trouble.
All these little people. I can't keep up. So there you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, do you think this is a problem? Do you think that Disneyland needs to remove the kiss scene from Snow White? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. You know, I don't think maybe Kate Dowd got many dates in high school. I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't know, though. We'll be right back.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. I want to go right down to the Liberty University Newsmaker line from the great state of Utah. Welcome, Chris Stewart, Congressman Stewart. Good to have you with us today.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
You know, Congressman, we're going to get to the issue of education. I know the First Lady, Jill Biden, was in your state talking about education. But real quick, the bigger story, national story, is this battle over leadership within the Republican Party. And I'm wondering where you stand, sir, on Liz Cheney as the conference chair.
Yeah, I think Liz is probably in trouble. And I think it's likely that there'll be a vote held soon, maybe as early as next week. And, you know, maybe we'll be surprised. We won't know until the final tally is counted. But, I think she's in trouble. I think she's really lost the support of her colleagues in the Republican side in Congress.
Yeah, I am curious, you know, how your fellow lawmakers are responding. Because again, it's one thing to, you know, she voted her conscience. Okay, we get that. But now this ongoing war, Congressman, a lot of conservatives are very concerned if this continues, this is going to have an impact on 2022.
Well, it will. And that's really the problem we're facing is all of us, most of us want to look forward. I just had a meeting with people and I said, look, what happened. It's in the past. What we need to be doing is looking forward. We need to be talking about how we win in 22, how we take the House back, how we take the Senate back, how we position ourselves so in 2024 we've got support behind the eventual Republican nominee. And I think the mistake that Liz has made is she keeps looking backwards. She keeps talking about January 6th. She keeps talking about President Trump. She keeps talking about things that she thinks were mistakes. And we should be talking about the future, not the past. And one other thing, Todd, that I think is a fair observation. And that is, you know, she says that she voted her conscience on the impeachment, and I'm certain that she did. But on the other hand, you have to allow that other people voted their conscience as well. I voted against impeachment, and that was not a political vote. That was a vote of conscience as well. But sometimes people set that up, that if you don't agree with me that the president should have been impeached, you are somehow disloyal to your country or disloyal to the American people, and you're putting politics above all else. And that's just not true. All of us did what we thought was the appropriate thing, but she should allow for others to realize and to realize they did what they thought was right, and it's not they didn't fail in their moral compass or in their conscience in the vote that they took as well.
And then writing in this Washington Post op-ed yesterday about the Trump cult of personality, as if somehow 74 million of us were brainwashed. I mean, the reality is this was a winning agenda. And this president delivered on his campaign promises. I mean, you can disagree with how he conducted himself, but this was a very successful 4 years for President Trump. And shame on Congresswoman Cheney for insulting 74 million Republican voters.
Yeah, as if, like you said, as if we can't make an informed decision, we have to be led by some kind of cult leader. And it's just not true. It's not accurate at all. I mean, every one of us were thoughtful. And look, I had a great relationship with the president. I think I still do. And we had many, many times where we would sit and talk. And I kind of teased him once. I said, Mr. President, you know I love you, but you make my job so much harder. And that was true. There were things that were, you know, perhaps unnecessary and made the politics a little more turmoil than many of us would have liked. But you can't argue that he was right on the policies, whether it was foreign policy, whether it was tax reform, whether it was regulatory reform, whether it was finally confronting China. I mean, I could keep going down the list, including where you have to add the federal judges and Supreme Court judges. We had 4 years of significant policy victories, and it wasn't because we followed him as a cult. It's because we agreed with what he was trying to do for the American people, for the American worker.
So, Congressman, on this radio program, we just like to call it like it is. How are you going to vote when it comes down to Liz Cheney, if that vote happens?
Well, I tell you what, we'll wait and see. It could be that Liz has a chance to stand and defend herself, and I want to give her that opportunity and to hear what she has to say and how she intends to lead us, and then I'll make a decision. But I got to say, I'm frustrated and I'm disappointed that we're in this position. It was unnecessary, and she has a responsibility as a leader not to represent just her own views, but to represent the views of the Republicans in conference and in Congress. And if she convinces us that she can do that, then I'll happily support her. If she can't, then it's time for us to find a new leader.
All right. Congressman Chris Stewart of the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Congressman, moving on to the topic at hand, Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden in your state visiting some students at a middle school. The reality is a lot of schools around this country are still not open, and I think we're going to be facing a significant children's crisis in this country as a result of that.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think we have begun to understand the damage we've done to young people, a youth, a new generation over the last year, and it's not just schools, but that's one of the primary things. I mean, my kids now have young children, and the last thing in the world they want to do is homeschool. They want their kids to be able to go to school, to interact with other kids, to have a responsible teacher who cares for them and teaches them through the day. And that's been taken away from kids. And if you're a junior or senior in high school, you can probably learn from distance learning. You can sit in front of a computer and Zoom with your teacher and learn. But if you're 6 or 7 years old, you can't. And we've ignored that for young kids, for children. And Utah has done a great job. We've got our kids back in school. And as I reminded the First Lady yesterday when I welcomed her, hey, we're so glad you came. We're honored you're here. You've come to one of the most beautiful states in the entire world. But look what we've done as well. Please help us get kids back in school. Let's recognize that the risk from the coronavirus is minuscule compared to the risk to their emotional and their physical well-being with isolating them. I mean, my gosh, Las Vegas is a great example. They had such a surge in teen suicides that they finally opened up the school because they recognized that that was one of the contributing factors towards it. We got to consider and weigh all of these things when it comes to our young people.
All right, Congressman, we are going to have to leave it there. We do appreciate you coming on the program, and thank you for your candor on the conversation about Liz Cheney.
It's good to be with you. Thank you.
All right. Congressman Chris Stewart there from Utah. Grace Baker, do you see what I was talking about in the first hour of this program?
You
understood
yeah.
what I was talking about?
Oh, I know.
So now we have had two members of Congress who have all but verified my concern. I'm going to go on the record now. If this is a private vote on Liz Cheney, Grace, I think Liz Cheney wins. I don't think, and based on those two conversations, we just asked Kevin Brady, we just asked Congressman Chris Stewart very directly, where would they go? What would they vote? How would they vote if Liz Cheney is put up for another vote?
And they kind of sidestepped it.
They refused to answer.
Mm-hmm.
That was a refusal to answer. Mm-hmm. And Kevin Brady actually pivoted the conversation. And I allowed him to do that because I knew the guy wasn't going to answer our questions.
Sure.
You know, well, we're pretty straightforward here on the program.
I think there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. A lot of relationships and deals and all kinds of stuff.
But here's what you need to think about. They're still undecided even though Liz Cheney has come out there, continues to attack the president, continues to attack Trump supporters, calls them a brainwashed cult, that's okay. And that is still not enough for them to change their vote. They're undecided, which means they are decided. And if this is a private vote, Liz Cheney survives. Mark my words on that, folks. But this is what I'm talking about. And this is what Donald John Trump fought every single day. He was fighting his own party. All right, we've got to take a break. We're going to go right to the phones. We've got Susan in Memphis. Hang tight, 844-747-8868. This is a very simple question, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think Liz Cheney should be removed from her leadership position? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, coming up in the next hour, our good friend, Dr. Robert Jeffers from the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Also, Hercules is going to be here. Yeah, Kevin Sorbo. Looking forward to having a conversation with him. We haven't talked in a long time. Used to watch that show. Grace, are you familiar with Hercules?
I mean, the Disney movie?
Kevin Sorbo. No, Kevin Sorbo.
No.
Yeah, he was like the man back in the day.
I know of him. I'd never watched the show.
Hercules. Anyway, it's going to be a fun interview coming up for the next hour. Hey, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Susan, listening to us on the great KWAM, Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Susan. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I'm a new listener. I'm so glad you're on. I listen to the show weekdays and weekends. I like the guys that are on there for the, whatever they're called, 2 o'clock.
Well, you're very kind, and we have a lot of fun, and it's a great Saturday lineup on KWAM as well. So welcome aboard. We're great to have you as a part of our radio family.
Thank you. Love it. I did want to comment on Disney World. I'm a retired dentist, but I also was active duty Navy dental officer. But prior to that, my dad worked for Eastern Airlines, and we got to go to Disney World a few times as teenagers and young adults. I'll have to say, Disney World, and I've also been to Disneyland, but Disney World is really not for children. I think that parents that take their kids when they're too young are really not using their money and their vacation time at the best time, because the kids aren't going to enjoy it and they're not going to remember. It really is for teenagers and young adults and seniors as we get older. I enjoyed my time in Disney, but it's really, really not for young kids.
Now, that is interesting that you would say that, Susan, because I agree. I mean, just the cost alone is just bonkers. But,
people save up for years to go there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Take their kids when they're too young.
But we have a lot of people in the church I attend, and their families, they have the kids now are in either high school or they're in college, and they go every year. It's sort of an annual thing.
That's a good time to go. That's a great time to go. I'm talking about young elementary school kids.
Oh, yeah, there's no way. But I will say this, because they do have some of the rides. What is that, the teacups and it's a small world. Yeah.
But again, it's not for really, really young kids.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Susan. Back in the day when I was growing up in Memphis, we had something called Liberty Land, which was just enough of an amusement park, you know, for the little kids. And then there was Opryland. I don't know if you guys ever remember Opryland, which was, now it's a big shopping mall, but it used to be one of the premier things. And, of course, we have Dollywood, which is a good alternative. But to your point, Susan, I think that's fair just from a cost, you know, from the price point, you know. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Oh, it's very expensive. And you know, when parents save up for a whole year, they save up their money, they save up their vacation time. And if they take kids that are, oh, young elementary school age, the kids are really not going to enjoy it and not going to remember. And it's really not a great vacation for everyone, parents included.
Fair point. Susan, thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening to KWAM. We appreciate you. 844-747-8868. You know, Grace, I want to go back to this story written by Katie Dowd, who's the managing editor of SF Gate. That's part of the San Francisco Chronicle. And she's calling on Disney to redo the Snow White ride. And again, she's saying that that Snow White did not give Prince Charming consent to kiss her. But how does she know that? I mean, technically, Snow White was in some sort of a comatose state.
Yes.
Is that the one? I get Snow White and is it
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty.
And who's the other one?
Okay, so Snow White, you know, took a bite of the apple.
Who's the one that got dressed by the mice and the rats and the vermin? Oh, Cinderella.
Cinderella.
Yeah, that's the one.
Cinderella was never sleeping. That was never part of
the plot. Who's
the
one with the midgets?
Snow White.
The dwarfs, I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Snow White.
Or Smurfs.
And then you got Sleeping Beauty. Snow White took a bite of the apple, put her to sleep. Sleeping Beauty pricked her finger on, like, a needle and put her to sleep.
Oh, she got the China virus and she got paralyzed. That's the new version.
Went to sleep. And she was also kissed to be woken up. And I'm trying to think. Those are the only sleeping princesses I can think of.
Again, they're making Snow White out to be like some sort of Law and Order CSI.
What the heck?
I mean,
don't
it's
overthink
just,
this.
I don't.
People who overthink this stuff have way too much time on their hands. Like I said, do not come for my 101 Dalmatians or Lady and the Tramp, or we're kind of an issue.
This sounds to me like someone who never got asked out to the dance. And she's got some personal issues she's working out in life.
I think so.
So God bless him, but Piers Morgan, that poor guy.
You know. Come on over here, Piers Morgan.
No, we don't want him over here.
Yeah, he'll just cause trouble.
He doesn't think we should own guns.
Oh, no, I forgot about that.
Needs to stay where he's at. but he is coming to the defense of Snow White. By the way, what's wrong with Jungle Cruise?
Oh, it's something to do with like the people in the jungle. It's like, you know, cultural appropriation and stereotypes and.
So they're not singing like Zippity Doo Dah Zippity A anymore.
No, that's a different ride. Different ride.
I don't think they do that anymore. Anyway, Piers Morgan is really going after all of this, calling it mind-numbingly stupid wokery, an achievement for which the bar is staggeringly low. He says the latest target of their whiny, self-righteous ire is Disney's newly revamped Snow White's Enchanted Wish ride at the theme park in Anaheim. What do they think is going to happen here? Do they think that just, you know, the five-year-olds are going to spontaneously start making out with people and trying to wake up women?
Exactly. Like I said, overthinking this by a lot.
The bad guys lose, the wicked queen dies, and all the good guys win. And I guess that's a problem, as Piers
Apparently.
Morgan points out. He says, self-evidently, none of the prince's behavior could be remotely described as problematic because he saved his sweetheart's life.
He did.
Can I just throw this out there? What happens? What if he was actually, and again, when this was written, maybe they didn't know about CPR. What if he was actually giving her CPR?
That's a great point.
Is that like, is CPR date rape now?
Exactly.
Is that what they're trying to say?
So if someone's dying, you're like, sorry, I can't help her. I mean, I'd give her CPR, but I'll get in trouble.
Jeez-a-loo, these people. They just won't stop.
They won't stop. Like I said, you know, you keep thinking, well, this movie's safe or that show's safe. Nothing is safe. Buy your copies, your hard copies of these movies, and keep them if you like them.
Millennials they're ruining America. They're just sucking the fun out of America. That's what they're doing.
You calling me a fun sucker?
Well, no, but you're a Generation Z-er.
Oh, that's true. I'm kind of in the millennials. I'm kind of in that fine line. I don't know where I belong.
Yeah, you're not part of the millennials.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, these people, they've screwed up America. And I'm afraid they're going to keep, I mean, it's only going to get worse. It really is. So anyway,
that positive outlook.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, I think the dwarf situation is going to have to be addressed at some point.
That's what I'm surprised they haven't addressed that. There's a lot of things.
Stay tuned. All right, folks, got to take a quick break. Kevin Sorbo is going to be here. Also, Pastor Robert Jeffers, your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. Good to have you with us today. Hope you're doing good out there. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number if you'd like to give us a call this hour of the show. Coming up in just a few moments, our good friend Kevin Sorbo is going to be here. But right now, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line to have the official chaplain of the Todd Starnes radio program, our good friend Dr. Robert Jeffers, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And you can also watch his incredible TV program, Pathway to Victory. Dr. Jeffers, how's it going today?
Well, it's great. A beautiful day here in downtown Dallas. Thanks for having me.
And, of course, is this the latest book, Grace Gone Wild? Is that the latest? You're writing a book every other week these days.
It's a new edition of a former book, but it's the first time we've aired it on Pathway to Victory. So it's airing on television right now every Monday, really, Monday through Sundays now, 7 days a week on Trinity Broadcasting.
PTV.org, ladies and gentlemen, is the website. That's PTV.org, PathwayToVictory.org there. Dr. Jeffers, today, of course, the National Day of Prayer. And I'm wondering on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked, as in, 10 being the most shocked, how shocked were you, Dr. Jeffers, that President Biden did not mention God or the Bible in his proclamation?
I would say -3 on the shock scale. It's just unbelievable. You know, when President Trump was in the Oval Office, we used to go up every year for the National Day of Prayer. He made a big thing about it in the Rose Garden and in the Oval Office, reminding us of our faith heritage as a nation. And it's just, again, no surprise that Joe Biden probably doesn't even know what day it is. But anyway,
that's a fair point.
Some grace there.
But Dr. Jeffers, again, when you look at the early days of our country, going back to George Washington calling for a time of prayer and fasting in the early days of this nation, I mean, there is a rich Christian history to the United States of America.
It's undeniable, Todd, and I say it without hesitation or apology. America was founded as a Christian nation. I mean, look at whom our forefathers, the founders, those who drafted the Constitution, look whom they quoted the most, and by far it was the Bible. There is no doubt we were founded as a Christian nation. And I believe, you know, that's why our country has enjoyed for at least 150 years God's favor. And, you know, Todd, God is no respecter of any people or any nation. Any nation that references God will be blessed by God. Any nation that rejects God and his word will be rejected by God. And that's why Psalm 33:12 is a great verse for today. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
And from a very practical standpoint, there is a political reason why the Democrats are attacking Christianity. They want to move faith out of the public marketplace, and that's because they have to do that to fully embrace socialism. They have to crack down on Christianity.
Well, absolutely, and they have to do it to fulfill their pro-abortion agenda. I mean, there is no way to justify that without just getting rid of the scripture completely. Fortunately, we've got some bishops that are considering demanding that Joe Biden be forbidden to take communion, because what he is teaching is not only antithetical to the Catholic Church, it's antithetical to all of Christianity.
And Dr. Jeffers, when you know you do look at the religious landscape, we've got the Equality Act looming in the background. What are you hearing from your fellow evangelicals, fellow pastors out there? Are there concerns that you know there could be a crackdown on what you do in the church?
Absolutely. I mean, we just saw the video footage of that preacher in London who was being hauled off because he was simply publicly reading the book of Genesis about gender. God made them male and female, and about God's plan for marriage, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. He's being hauled off for saying that by the authorities. Todd, I think we are 5 years or less away from that happening in America.
You think that could happen here, Dr. Jeffers? You really do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it will happen more quickly than people can even imagine.
Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, our good friend, Dr. Robert Jeffers. Dr. Jeffers, when you look at where we are as a nation right now, so many people have not been attending church. Are you seeing a rebound? I know that you guys have had a huge numbers at First Dallas. What about other churches around the country? Are folks getting back to it?
Yes, I'm hearing that from other pastors. Many of our large evangelical churches are about where we are. We have 75% who are back, and I recently addressed the 25% who aren't back kindly, saying we need you back. And, you know, and again, Todd, I know your audience feels differently about this, but I think the quickest way to get back is getting vaccinated, so we don't have to worry whether people are wearing masks or whatever they're doing. Just come back to worship, because I think the greatest danger to God's people, the greatest risk, if you will, is not a physical risk at this point. It is a spiritual risk of continued isolation. It's not normal to be separated as Christians. We need to be back together.
No, we do. One final question, Dr. Jeffers, looking at the politics, and I know you try to steer clear of that. You provided a lot of spiritual counsel to President Trump, but the reality is a lot of Christians vote Republican because of their platform, and we're watching a big squabble right now. What's your take on this battle over Liz Cheney and the rest of the Republicans?
Yeah, you know, I think there is a war going on with the Republican Party, and that happens after losing an election. It just happens. There's a battle for the soul of the Republican Party. You've got your establishment Republicans. You've got your Trump supporters. And even among those Trump supporters, there's a division. There are people like me who feel like we ought to celebrate what Donald Trump and Mike Pence did. They achieved just so much. I want to see those policies continue. But I think the best thing for us to do is to quit trying to relitigate the 2020 election and start concentrating on what we're going to do to win in 2024. I think that's the best path forward.
All right. Good stuff as always. All right, Dr. Jeffers, again, where can folks go if they want to get more information, get your awesome books, watch the services? Where can they do that?
They can download all the messages free of charge, radio and television, at ptv.org for Pathway to Victory.
All right. Dr. Robert Jeffers there at First Baptist Dallas, Texas. Dr. Jeffers, always good hearing from you.
Great to talk to you, Todd. Thanks so much.
All right. Great pastor right there, folks. And we need more people like Robert Jeffers in American pulpits. This man is not afraid to preach the truth. And we need that. And if we don't get that, this country is going to be in a world of hurt. So thank you, Dr. Jeffress.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Well, we've been paying attention to the recall efforts over in California, and the Republican side is, oh, my word. So they've got one guy traveling around with a giant bear, and then you've got the Jenner, formerly known as Bruce. So Caitlyn Jenner, who is transgender, has a pretty impressive ad out. And I got to tell you something. It's pretty darn effective. So I want you guys to take a listen to this.
I've always been a dreamer.
California was once the envy of the world. We had what everyone else wanted. The American dream grew up here. Yet career politicians and their policies have destroyed that dream. It's been locked away, closed, shuttered, left in the dark, burned down. The government is now involved in every part of our lives. They've taken our money, our jobs, and our freedom. California needs a disruptor, a compassionate disruptor. I came here with a dream 48 years ago to be the greatest athlete in the world. Now I enter a different kind of race. Arguably, my most important one yet, to save California. I want to carry the torch for the parents who had to balance work and their child's education, for business owners who were forced to shut down, for pastors who were not able to be with their congregation, for the family who lost their home in a fire, for an entire generation of students who lost a year of education. This past year has redefined our career politicians as elitists, and the people of California as the warriors, the kings, and the angels. We never take kindly to glass ceilings here. Instead, we shatter them.
This one's way out there.
We're the trailblazers, the innovators. California is facing big hurdles. Now, we need leaders who are unafraid to leap to new heights.
Governor, he does not want to finish record in this race. He wants the world record.
Who are unafraid to challenge and to change the status quo.
I want to prove that it is absolutely possible if we only do it together.
California, it's time to reopen our schools, reopen our businesses, reopen the Golden Gates. So I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat. I'm running to be governor for all Californians to reclaim our true identity, to bring back the gold to the Golden State.
What a tremendous victory!
Now is the time to achieve that summit, to be the shining city on the hill, and together we'll restore and renew the California dream.
It's about what happens from here. It's not just about one person. It's about all of us.
So there you have it. The new campaign ad from Caitlyn Jenner, the Jenner formerly known as Bruce. Would you vote for that candidate if you didn't know? If you didn't know who that was, would you? If you had no idea this was a dude who now thinks he's a woman, would you vote for that person? I would. If I didn't know any better, I would. I agree with every single thing that was said in that ad. Now, the question is this going to work in California? And is Jenner really being authentic? That's and that's something that voters in California are going to have to come to terms with. I don't know. I do not know if Caitlyn Jenner is being real with us. But if every single thing that was, you know, if Caitlyn Jenner backs up every single thing said in that video, in that campaign ad, I think it could make a difference in the Golden State. But would you vote for Caitlyn Jenner? Would Caitlyn Jenner get your vote if you were a citizen of the state of California? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, Jenner was on Hannity's show last night. Let's take a listen to that interview.
Thinking this is hard.
It was not an easy decision. It took an awfully long time. I've always been involved in politics for the LGBT community. I used to go back. But in 1973, I graduated from college in Iowa. I packed up my 63 VW bug and drove across the country, everything I owned in the back seat. And I was coming to California, the Golden State. I went to San Jose. Why? Because San Jose was where all the great athletes lived. I had met him in my first Olympics in 1972. And me as a decathlete, I wanted to learn from all these other great athletes. In fact, in 1976, we placed fifth as a nation with 3 gold medals, a silver and a bronze within a 5-mile radius of my house. I put myself with some of these great athletes and I learned so much. I want to do the same thing now. I want to take that same fight, that same spirit, go to Sacramento, surround myself with some of the smartest people out there. I am an outsider. I understand that. Smartest people out there. Because now I'm on a race for solutions.
Okay, enough of this.
I need to
enough
find
of this.
Solutions.
I will say, yeah, and so Jenner goes on to talk about saying that we need a wall on the border, was expressing sympathy to illegal aliens already here, but wanting to crack down. Also says that California has bigger issues other than pronouns. So the question is, would you vote for Caitlyn Jenner based on the conservative platform that Jenner is pitching? Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Brian from North Carolina on The Talk Station. All right, Brian, what would you do?
Hey, let me tell you, I vote for policies and not for personalities. We get in trouble as a nation by voting for personalities or against personalities, and we need to be concentrating on policy.
You know, Brian,
I would vote for Jenner.
So you would vote for Caitlyn Jenner.
I would if the policies aligned with what I wanted to say, and that was the best way to get those policies enacted. I would not jump out to be able to vote for a person like that. No, I don't think that's a good way to live. But I vote for policies and not personalities.
Brian, when I heard that campaign ad for the first time, someone sent it to me and they said, just listen to this. I had no idea who it was, where they were running. And they said, what do you think about that? I said, man, that's a great campaign ad. That's probably one of the best campaign ads I've heard in a long time, Brian. And then they said, hey, guess who it is. And I thought, oh, geez, hello. They got me, Brian. They got me. All right. Hey, look. All right. Brian says, yeah, I'd vote for Jenner. It's about the policies, not the personality. What say you, America? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives.
Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, coming up in just a little while, we're going to go right to the phones. A lot of you wanting to weigh in on whether or not you would vote for Caitlyn Jenner. So if Caitlyn Jenner runs as a conservative and runs to defend religious liberty and protect the border and lower taxes, would Caitlyn Jenner get your vote? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Hang tight, because right now I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And very honored to have with us a good friend of this program, Kevin Sorbo. Kevin, how's it going? Good to have you back with us.
Great. How's it going with you? It's awesome to be here. Thanks for taking the time.
Well, look, this is like a huge week for you. Tomorrow, you and President Trump are going to receive the Patriot Award down at Mar-a-Lago. You're being honored as at the Lee Greenwood Patriot Awards dinner. First of all, congratulations. What a great honor.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's not something you sit and you try to, promote yourself for. And all of a sudden they gave me a call here a while back, and they said that my wife and I are both going to receive this together at the same time for the work that we do. And just being Americans, being proud of being American.
Well, it's a wonderful honor. It's going to be a great night celebrating patriotism, honoring our wounded warriors, just brave American heroes over at beautiful Mar-a-Lago. I was just down there a couple of weeks ago, Kevin, and got to tell you, it's a pretty swanky place. It's not the Best Western.
No, it's not. It's a little more upscale than that. I've been there a few times now, and I was there a couple of weeks ago myself at the Lincoln dinner, and it was a pretty impressive night. I got my picture taken at the table along with President Trump and Pompeo, and of course the greatest governor in our country, DeSantis. So it was a pretty good night for me.
You know, Kevin, one of the big issues we've been talking about over the past really 24 hours, Facebook coming out announcing that President Trump will still not be allowed on their platform. Twitter just a few moments ago made this announcement. I want to read this to our listeners. Twitter says it's releasing a feature that will automatically detect mean replies on its service and will prompt people to review the replies before sending them. The crackdown on conservatives continues, and you've been targeted too.
Oh, yeah. Facebook took me down about 5-6 weeks ago, and they never gave me a warning. Of course, they said they did, but the only reason why they said they did is because I got so much coverage on it. One time I had over 1 million followers, and they've been taking people away from me over the last couple of years. It was down to 600,000. They admitted to shadow banning. There was a point where, there was a time when anything I posted would get 50,000 to 500,000 viewpoints or likes or whatever. They would get it down to 5,000. You could tell they were shadow banning. They admitted to it. And all I was posting was the truth. But, they love the darkness. It's so interesting, and it's so blatant and so obvious what they're doing. And I got to laugh at the way Facebook even started. I mean, the whole thing was Zuckerberg. He started that on the campus of Harvard, where they wanted to rate women if they were hot or doable or not. And they would give women a scale of 1 to 10. We're the feminists and people going after Zuckerberg for the whole reason behind Facebook and why it got started in the first place. I mean, the hypocrisy that they display is so open and so obvious right now, it's almost laughable.
And the challenge is big tech is so powerful, and the reality is they have many Republican lawmakers in their pocket funding their PACs, and that's why they did not do anything to address this issue when they actually controlled the House and the Senate. And you really wonder, Kevin, what is it going to take for Republicans to finally stand up and say, enough is enough, we've got to do something about this censorship?
Well, I got to say straight forward, there's a lot of rhinos and a lot of wusses on the Republican side as well, and we need to be as passionate and organized as the left is, but without the anger and the hate and the divisiveness that the anger puts out there in a constant flow of falseness and hate. And it's so weird. I was posting on Facebook. I could post 2 + 2 = 4, and now we have people coming back on Facebook saying, "I hope you die. Hope your family dies. And you're going, okay, now, isn't that hateful? Is why is that person allowed to still stay on Facebook? I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous what's going on there right now. And you just mentioned it. This is a battle that's going on, and we need people to stand up and fight back. And I'm working with the governor here in Florida right now to, you know, he's going after big time. But I've met with him a couple times, and we're hoping to have some sort of interesting rebuttal to what Facebook has been doing to people.
Kevin, I'm curious to know your thoughts about Ron DeSantis. He looks more presidential every day.
Yeah, he's a class act. He's amazing. I'm sure President Trump would like to have him as a running mate coming up in 2024, if that's something that you know, he wants to do, throw his hat back in the ring. But I think DeSantis is ready to walk into the White House right now. The guy's amazing. He's classy. He's common sense. He destroys people with just intelligence and wit, and just really a guy that everybody should really get to know. Because right now, all we do have right now is we have such a divisiveness. If you say you're conservative, you say you're liberal, all it does is just erupt in just anger. And here's a guy that if people give a half a second to listen to, they might wake up and learn something.
You're right. Kevin Sorbo on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Kevin, one of the things I love about you and Sam and your family, you guys are just producing some incredible productions that are family-friendly, faith-friendly, just so well done. And you have a brand-new project. And I'm going to be honest with you, Kevin. When I first heard the title, I thought about a dolphin wearing mittens, wearing a heavy coat with a Vermont accent, Bernie the Dolphin.
You know, it's a good family movie. Lionsgate was behind this as well. I mean, how many rated G movies do they have out there nowadays? We actually did two of them, and they both were released theatrically, and now they're on streaming through PureFlix, which I believe is owned by Sony Affirm now. And it's just a wonderful family movie, and I hope people get a chance to check it out and see it. I got another one in theaters right now I got to give a plug for. It's been doing 4 weeks in theaters. It's called The Girl Who Believes in Miracles. I shot that with Peter Coyote and Mira Sorvino. It's another wonderful family movie. Two more in the can coming out soon, and four movies I'm shooting right now. One of them happens to be the Ronald Reagan movie. Dennis Quaid is playing Reagan. I'm playing his pastor. So we got a lot of good things coming down the pipeline.
Oh, we're going to get you back on. I can't wait for the Reagan movie to come out. Huge, huge Reagan fan. And what a great guy to play Reagan.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. He played Clinton in a movie or miniseries before too.
Oh,
so Dennis and I worked together before years ago in a movie called Soul Surfer. It's the life of Bethany Hamilton, who was 13 years old.
That was a great movie.
Yeah, I played Dennis's best friend in the movie, and my daughter played. I mean, the kids who play my son and daughter are friends with, of course, Anna Sophia Robb, who played Bethany, and I'm the one who saves her life in the water. So it was a pretty amazing movie, and we got 2 months in Hawaii. It didn't suck to shoot there either.
No, it's a rough life. It's
well,
but it's a busy life.
If you can get it, you can get it. So.
All right.
Hey,
well,
I got to give a quick plug. I have the number one documentary out there on Amazon right now streaming. It's called Before the Wrath. It's on the Book of Revelation. So I hope people not only check out Burning the Dolphin, but they also see look up Before the Wrath. Very educational look at the final chapter of the New Testament. People find it interesting.
We're going to post links to all of your projects over on our live show blog. We're big fans here. You just let us know how we can continue to promote the great work you're doing. And please tell Sam congratulations on the great award. Well-deserved honor tomorrow.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And definitely be in touch.
All right. Kevin Sorbo, ladies and gentlemen, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. And we do have links to all of Kevin's projects there at toddstarnes.com. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to Amber in Maine, Marie in North Carolina. A lot of other folks wanting to weigh in on this story out of California. Caitlyn Jenner, would you vote for Caitlyn Jenner as the next governor of California? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you.
Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
All right, let's get right to the phones. And here's what I want to do. I want to bring in two callers. First is Amber, who is listening to us on WLOB from the great state of Maine. Hi, Amber. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And I want to bring in Marie from North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, Marie. How are you today?
Fine, sure.
All right. So, ladies, I understand you have two very different opinions about Caitlyn Jenner. Amber, I want to start with you. Would you vote for Bruce Jenner and or Caitlyn Jenner, rather, and why?
I would. I agree with one of the previous callers that we should vote on policy versus, you know, what somebody looks like or what their sexual orientation is. I'm a conservative, and I think that conservatives recently have gotten a bad name from Democrats. They think we're racist. They think we're bigots. And I think that could be furthest from the truth. And I think to not vote for someone just because of, you know, of something like what Bruce Caitlyn Jenner's going through would just prove their point. And I think that Jenner would be a good candidate. So, yeah.
Marie, what about you?
No, absolutely not. No way could I, as a Christian, vote for Bruce Jenner, and I choose to call him Bruce because that's who he is to me. It's still a he, and I don't have problems with pronouns. I don't know how he can even claim to be a conservative with the move that he has outwardly taken. I think the campaign ad is a wonderful use of a forked tongue with slick talking. And that's just what it is a campaign ad.
So, you know, Amber, now this is interesting because when I heard that ad for the first time, I had no idea who it was. And the person who sent it to me said, would you vote for somebody like that? And I said, man, that's a great agenda. I would vote for someone. And they said, well, it's Caitlyn Jenner. So if you had not have known that was Caitlyn Jenner, would you have been able to vote for that platform?
I'll let Marie go ahead.
Marie?
Well, as I said, I feel that it is a slick-talking campaign ad, and it is a lot of good points as brought out into it. But there again, as I said, I do feel that his platform and motives behind everything, I think that his outward sex change and to who he has chose to be by his own choice overrules anything that he says.
Now, Amber, you know, this is a big, let me jump in here for just a second, Marie. Amber, this is a valid point Marie is bringing up. I mean, it is a slick campaign. The question is, are you, you know, and for the voters, do you trust that Jenner's going to deliver on all of this?
You know, I feel like in the past, looking over the past, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, Jenner seems to be a pretty genuine person. I think that times, whether people like it or not, are changing. And if this were 50 years ago, you know, and it was a black candidate and somebody was saying, oh, my gosh, I wouldn't vote for them because they were black, I feel like that's terrible. And we shouldn't be basing our opinions on things that shouldn't matter, like skin color, sexual orientation, things of that nature. I think that we need to move forward and, you know, there's no better way to unite than to have someone who can unite both sides. And I don't hold those things against somebody, even though I, you know, raised Catholic and everything. It's, to me, it's not a fault of their own, I guess you could say, to be the way they are. And if they're a good person and they have good qualities that I, you know, agree with, then they'd be a good candidate in my eyes.
Now, Marie, I don't know if Jenner is a Christian or not, to be honest, I really don't. But a lot of people use your argument not to vote for Donald Trump. They didn't believe he was a good enough Christian, or some conservatives actually believed he was not even a Christian, but he still defended religious liberty, probably more so than even a George W. Bush who was openly born again.
True. The fact on to the matter is when it comes down to it, I would say that it's not if the candidate is a Christian or not. I know that I am a Christian, and I know what I feel that as a Christian that I have a responsibility as to who and how to vote for. And a person that has this outward sin by his own choice, I could not, nor would I ever, vote for a person as such. Skin color is something God made. Their skin color, I don't care if they're black, orange, purple, red, white, that's God made them that way. I do not feel, according to Scripture, that God made this man as he has chose to make himself. He and his doctors did this, not God. So as a Christian, no, I could not ever condone his outward choices and vote for him. No way. Never.
All right, ladies, very different opinions. Thank you both for weighing in. Amber in Maine, Marie in North Carolina. And folks, I suspect those conversations are going on all over the state of California right now. But Grace and Avery, I got to tell you, that was the first time I've heard Jenner speak, and the voice didn't change, did it?
No, I was thinking that. It threw me off. I was like, wait, is this? I thought it was a narrator
Hello,
at first.
Hello, Americans.
I thought it was a narrator at first. You know how they sometimes have a narrator and then they bring in the candidate? And I was like, oh, wait.
Oh, boy. Wow. That's going to be a tough one for a lot of people.
I understand. But I guess I'm just like, man, if I was in California, you see what's going on there. I would welcome Jenner with open arms if that was my option.
It's. Well, if between Gavin Newsom and
exactly.
Or the guy
I would
with
not
the
have a problem.
The guy traveling around with the bear. You know?
Well, you know, and if he's a good candidate, great. But
he's a horrible candidate.
I want to say, assuming he's a horrible candidate, then I would vote for Jenner.
I mean, you have a chance of not getting mauled at Jenner events.
Oh my God.
You know that's gonna happen.
There's gonna be a story.
He's gonna lose a voter.
The next story on the smoking gun.
Oh, speaking of that, I've got to share this story with you. This is from the New York Post.
That's not the smoking gun. I know what you're about to read. This is not a crime.
A 4-year-old boy accidentally buys $2,600 worth of SpongeBob popsicles on Amazon. According to the New York Post, have you had the SpongeBob popsicles?
I have not.
No, is that they would have those at the ice cream trucks. I would always get the strawberry shortcake popsicle.
I would just go with the plain chocolate. I'm not one to get just specialized popsicles, to be honest.
The 4-year-old, a lover of SpongeBob, went a little overboard when he bought nearly $3,000 worth of non-refundable SpongeBob SquarePants popsicles on Amazon. The boy's mother has had to set up a GoFundMe page to help cover the cost.
Oh, my gosh.
But they have raised double the amount needed. So it's covered now.
Awesome.
Well, that's good. The little boy's name is Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just say something here? I know, and what an adorable child.
Oh, my gosh.
He's wearing like a little Mickey Mouse shirt. Got his little, well, of course, he's got $3,000 worth of SpongeBob popsicles in the freezer.
But he looks like a happy child, you know. I'm sure he didn't realize what he was doing.
So they've raised over almost $6,000.
Uh-huh.
So you know what's going to happen. He's going to go buy more
popsicles and repeat the whole process all over again.
Okay. I don't think it was an accident. I think the kid knew what he was doing.
Oh, 100%.
Well, here's the thing. It's so easy to purchase stuff on Amazon. I mean, people will be like, well, how did the kid do it? I'm like, all you got to do is click buy now. And if you're already logged in, it's a done
deal.
That's it. It's at your door before you've even walk to your bedroom. There it is at your door.
All right. Hey, folks, got to wrap it up there. And by the way, thank you to our good friends at Poncho's. The queso was wonderful yesterday. God bless you, folks. Hey, get up there. Have a good day. And we'll see you tomorrow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.